What was that? Okay. Okay, so in Perek Ches, we're finishing up some of the hadracha that the Goyim gives on how to approach Limud HaTorah. He says once again here that Agada and Musar is one of the most important parts of Torah and has a lot of soyd in it. Now, the Goyim says in Chavav, he says, Agadois, some people think stories, you know, the Agada part of the Gemara, the part of the Gemara which is Agarata, could be just stories. It's nothing that particularly important. So he says, Chas v'shalom, it looks like Dvar B'teilim. Bahem, inside there is Ganus, it was hidden, Kol HaSoydos. The Soydos of Torah are all in there. So the Goyim teaches us here that reality is that the soydos of Torah are hidden in the Agarta. So this is a whole topic in independently in and of itself, which is that Chazal, we have very, very interesting Gemaras. And some of the Gemaras don't sound that they're particularly realistic. Okay? So how do we approach those Gemaras? So for example, it's a famous Gemara in Brachis that the Rashba has a whole piece on that Gemara. The Gemara says that Oyg Melech HaBashan came to the Machane Yisrael. He came to the Machane Yisrael, which was 300 parsa by 300 parsa, and he picked up a mountain over his arm. He picked up the whole mountain over his head like this. And the bottom of the mountain was as wide as the entire Machne Yisrael. He was about to throw it onto the Jews and destroy them all. All of a sudden, ants came and made holes in the mountain. They made a hole in the mountain. The whole mountain fell on his neck. And it was like a necklace. And he was trying to take it off, and his teeth grew out into the mountain and like locked it in place. So he couldn't take the mountain off. At that time, Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas tall and his stick was 10 amas tall. And he jumped 10 amas and then he was able to hit the bottom of Yehoshua HaBashan's ankles and knock him to the floor. And by doing so, he was defeated for once and for all. So this Gemara sounds very, very, very out there. Right? So the Rashba explains like this. He says, Chazal had things that they wanted to teach us, but they didn't necessarily want it to be open. They didn't want it to be, you know, understood by every person who would. He didn't want it, and he didn't want to give it to every person to, you know, understand it and misunderstand it and misinterpret it. So they hid a lot of the secrets in these types of Gemaras. Okay, that's what the Rashba says, and the Goyin is saying that also. So the Rashba says, for example, what is this Gemara telling me? The Gemara is saying the following. What the Gemara is actually saying is that the Avos are like mountains, and Oig Malach HaBashan was coming to destroy the Jewish people in the schus of the Avos. Because remember, Oig Malach HaBashan was the one that saved Avram Avinu. So therefore, he held that he has the schus of the Avos. So he held the mountain over his head, meaning to say, he held the schus of the Avos over his head. But in the schus of the tefillah of Klal Yisrael, which is like, the tefillah is like the way an ant eats. It's slow, methodical, but eventually makes a tremendous hole. So the tefillah of Klal Yisrael made a hole in the mountain to the point that he could no longer take the mountain and use it against the Jewish people. And that's essentially the metaphor of this Gemara. Okay, so the point is that every Gemara that you hear has two ways of reading it. There's the Pashup Shat, and it has to be that the Pashup Shat could be understood on the Pashup Shat level. But there's, of course, a lot of depth into each piece of Gemara. And the deepest pieces of the Gra are found when he explains Agadah to Gemaras. and tries to explain them and say, what is the soid of that particular Gemara? So when a person, when you're learning Gemara and you come across an Agadata, you shouldn't just say, well, that's weird. You know, there's, that probably didn't happen. It's not realistic, right? So you can't say that. First of all, you have to go with the attitude that it could have happened. And regardless of that, there's definitely a big, big soid in there. There's a soid. There's a secret. And Chazal did not want to write that secret openly. So they only wrote the secret for people that would bother trying to spend time understanding it. And that's why they put it in that's why they put it in that types of Gemaras. Okay. So it's very important to realize that. Okay. Now, the next piece of Gemara of a Goyim is a very controversial one nowadays. Not controversial, but it's a piece which is very important to be aware of. He says the following. He says, from the time of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the Koach of Toiv got very, very mixed up with the Koach of Ra. So Tuma and Tahara got extremely mixed up. That being the case, says the Gaon, that since the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, it is off limits completely to practically use Kabbalah concepts for anything practical. The Goyin, as we learned before, was a big proponent of learning Kabbalah, right? We learned yesterday that the Goyin said that the greatest levels of the neshama are revealed when a person learns Kabbalah. And when a person studies the depths of the Torah, they reach tremendous darkness. And he was a big, he himself, the Goyin, was a tremendous Kabbalah. And you have to learn it, basically. He says a person could have learned it, but he didn't learn it to the top. But he says, Kabbalah masses, to use the Kabbalah in a practical way, okay, the Goyim is very against that. Why? Because we don't have the ability to know if what we're tapping into is the Koach of Kedusha or the Koach of Tumah. Because he says, even though we're trying, the way he says it is, even though we're trying to tap into the Eitz HaChaim, it could be we're tapping into the Eitz HaDas. The Eitz HaDas, when Adam and Chava ate the Eitz HaDas, it mixed in Toiv and Ra together, right? So the problem is that this stuff is hidden in the Eitz HaDas. I don't know what that means, but and when you're doing it, it could be you're eating from the Eitz HaDas, which was the sin of Adam and Chava. In other words, it could be that you are mixing in Tuma and Tahara, okay? And he says, therefore, nobody has the right to do any Kabbalah masses. Where is this brought down in Shulchan Aruch? There's a whole concept in Shulchan Aruch about Sefer Yetzirah. There's a concept of Sefer Yetzirah. Can you create a life by using Sefer Yetzirah? Okay, so there was a whole thing, making a goylam with the Sefer Yetzirah, making animals with the Sefer Yetzirah. There's actually even shuvas written. If a person only has 9 people for a minion, can they make a person with the Sefer Yetzirah and count them for the 10th? There's a shuvah in the Yavetz about that. So the now the goyim says you cannot do this stuff nowadays. This is off limits. Okay, now this addresses a very important issue, which some people are very wowed by somebody that can do quote unquote miracles. Look, this guy must be a tzaddik. He, you know, whatever. He did X, Y, and Z. Okay? The answer is he's such a tzaddik if he's such a tzaddik. If you're trying to prove that he's a tzaddik because he did miracles, there's no proof. Why? Because even if he did miracles, maybe he's tapping into the Sitra Achra. Maybe he's tapping into Kochos from the other side. And therefore, there's no raya b'chlal that if the guy's a tzaddik, that the guy did a miracle is a tzaddik. In fact, if anything, it's probably the opposite. Because a real tzaddik does not go ahead and for no reason ask Hashem to do miracles for him. And a real tzaddik follows the Gra and says, no, I'm not going to do miracles. I'm not going to use Kabbalah in a practical way to go do miracles. So this is a very important idea is that a person can go to a tzaddik for a bracha. A person can go to tzaddik for the, but once a person starts getting involved in trying to do and practically implement Kabbalah concepts into the world of Lamaisa, it's not a good thing. It's a slippery slope, it's dangerous, and you don't know what you're getting yourself into. And there's no, you know, there's no people out there, the people, you know, we don't know, you know, there's not a lot of vetting in this field. So, you know, hey, I got a good makubal, you know, on my Rolodex. So therefore it's not the way it's supposed to be, right? And
you can learn Kabbalah, but not to involve in practicing all this hocus pocus stuff.
Yeah, that's the goyim saying.
Not to use Kabbalah, you can learn it. But
that's what the goyim saying. Of course, that's what I'm trying to say. The goyim was a big proponent of learning Kabbalah once you're on the level, which we learned yesterday, right? You try to spread the peanut butter in midair, it's not good. You got to spread it onto bread. Gemara is the bread. You know, everything else is the extras. So you're not gonna, you don't know halacha, you don't know the nigla, and then you're sitting there spreading your cream cheese, you know, in midair. It's not gonna make a huge mess. It's not good. But that's what God says. Me'eis churban ha-miktosh, nis'arim ha-kol, toiv v'ra v'lochein. Therefore, kol shimushe kabbalah ma'asis, any using of kabbalah ma'asis, who avoin plili, is a very, very big avoin. Avoin plili, he says, it's a very strong language. Who doime l'cheit adam arisha, it's like transgressing the sin of adam arisha. That's pretty serious. That threw the whole world for a loop, right? So he doesn't like this. Rak, the most you should do is davin al pi kabbalah, which is l'chaven ha-kavonis al-boryon, v'chol mitzvah kavona miyuchedes v'mukubeles, that you could do. You want to dive in with the kabbalas of the Arizal, with the kavonis of the Arizal, that you could do. We spoke with Chaim Lozhner and Nefesh HaChaim, we discussed diving with the kavonis of the Arizal. You know, you could, you can't, but that you could do. But using it practically to create things, to do things, to make miracles for people, to direct people's lives in a certain way, that's dangerous. You know, I saw a guy showed me a whole conversation he had with someone, this Makubo. I don't know if it was even a man or a woman for that matter. And he's like, I got some advice to do this. I'm like, you got this? Like, yeah, show me. So he showed me the whole WhatsApp conversation he's having with this Makubo. And in the middle over there, the guy's like, okay, for the next step, it's $500. And I'm like, I don't know. This doesn't sound like to me, you know, any Makubal that I would give respect to, I don't think we'd be sitting there having a WhatsApp conversation with you and in the middle of there, you know, asking for your credit card number. You know what I mean? It just doesn't sound right to me. Call me naive or whatever, but that's just not what I think is going on, right? So there's a lot of uncharted territory in this. So one has to be careful, but the etzem, the concept why it's not good is because the fact that they're able to do it doesn't mean that they're right. The fact that they're able to do it does not mean that they're holy. It does not mean that they're tapping into the kochos of Kabbalah. It means that Kabbalah is mixed in with a lot of tumah in the world of Lamaisa. So therefore he says you can learn it, don't try to practice it. It's a very important and very important lesson. Okay? Shkoyach.
Rabbi, are we going to have during Yeshiva week here, or are we?
Yeah, we'll try. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We should have it. Okay. That's
the most
important. Thank you. Okay. We'll see you.
Thanks. All the best.
Okay. Bye.